Hi, it's Chris. Come over to our side of the radio for another adventure in Odyssey.
Hi, and welcome to Candid Conversations with Connie. That's me. And today I'm broadcasting from our temporary studios here at Wits End. Witt and Eugene are renovating our old studio, so I'm here in a... well, it's a closet, really. And I'm surrounded by cables and props and sound effect discs and... what's this thing? Oh! Okay, well, I don't know what that's doing in here. Anyway, it's a real mess, but we'll make the best of it. As today we talk about whether entertainment should always have a point or not. Wait a second. Sorry, Wooten has just peeked in the door. And, okay, there's no use making hand gestures. Wooten, come in. Ladies and gentlemen, Wooten Bassett.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt your show.
Well, what do you expect when you're standing there waving your arms like that? Is something wrong?
The kids are saying that your car alarm is going off.
Really?
Yeah, it's doing this.
Yeah, that's my car alarm, all right. I wonder what set it off.
Well, I heard there was a very suspicious squirrel lurking around the premises, so, you know.
Well, okay, my car key has a button on it.
Oh, great, okay, where's your key?
In my purse.
And your purse is where?
It's in the kitchen. Oh. No, wait, Witt's office.
Okay.
Wait, no, oh. Under the counter. Huh? No, sorry about this, folks. Come here, Wooten.
What?
Sit down. Talk to the audience while I find my purse.
What? Seriously? But I don't know what
to... Don't worry. Just talk. You know how to talk. I've heard you.
Okay, but talk about what, though?
Anything. I'll be right back.
Is this thing on? Okay, so it's Wooten Bassett here, live and in person in this closet, and we're talking about, car alarms. Yeah, okay, that's right, car alarms. What are they, and what purpose do they serve? Call in now, and let's talk about it. Oh, and we have a call already. That was fast, and I assume if I push this button... Hey, Gertrude, is that you? Okay, not this one. How about this one? No, this one. Hello?
I was going to say that. Harlow Doyle here.
Hi, Harlow Doyle here. Well, you must have speed dial or something. What do you think about car alarms?
Actually, I'm not calling about that. I'm calling about squirrels.
Squirrels?
Yes. As head of the local chapter of the Society for the Prevention of Defamation to Animals...
Well, it's a very long title. It must be a really big society.
Oh, you bet. There's me and, well, you know, there's me.
Oh, both of you. Well, roll call at those meetings must go really fast. So why'd you call, Harlow?
It's about the squirrel. You made it sound like he set off a car alarm.
Oh, that's right. Something to do with a wayward acorn.
Did you see the squirrel do it?
Well, no, I didn't.
Uh-huh. So you don't know that the squirrel actually set off the car alarm?
Technically, no.
So you probably shouldn't have defamed the squirrel like that?
You know what? You're right. I shouldn't have. And on behalf of myself and the employees of this station, I'd like to apologize to all of our listening squirrels in the audience for suggesting that any of their kind set off Connie's car alarm.
Thank you.
So what do you think of car alarms, Harlow?
I don't belong to that group.
Okay, well, if we have any representatives from the Car Alarm Society out there, please give me a call. Meanwhile, I am surrounded by the coolest junk you ever saw. Sound effects, instruments. Oh, this is amazing. Hey, what do you know? We have another caller. Not that one. Hello?
Hi, Wooten. It's Connie.
Hey, Connie. When are you coming back?
Well, I've got some good news and bad news about that.
Yeah?
The good news is that I found my purse with my car key in it.
Hey, that's great. Cue sound effect. Okay, maybe it's this one. So the good news is that you found your purse. And the bad news?
My purse is locked inside the car.
Uh-oh. Cue other sound effects. Never mind. Connie, are you there?
Yeah, but I'm going to be a while. I've called a locksmith to get my car open, so you'll have to keep going.
Oh, okay, but I can't be held responsible for what happens. And that's Connie Kendall, our reporter on scene at Wits End, and the unfolding purse locked in the car with the car alarm going off story, broadcast exclusively here on Kids Radio. And now, a word from our sponsor. And we're back, and what do you know? Look who just walked in. Oh, you can't look because this is radio. It's Eugene Meltzer.
Oh, no, really don't.
Oh,
no.
Say hello, Eugene.
No, I just came in for my tape measure. I'll be
Wow, you're going to measure some tape? Tell us, what kind of tape is it?
Just carry on with your show, please.
Actually, you know, it's not my show, it's Connie's, and I'm just filling in, so it's only right that you help me.
What?
I think I saw your theme music around here someplace.
Theme music?
Yeah, here it is.
And now, Science by Design, in which science, nature, and the world show us the hand of the creator.
here's our host, Eugene Melchner.
See, now you gotta do something.
Oh.
Tell us about car alarms.
Car alarms? Mm. Well, it's interesting that you happen to mention that, since only yesterday I happened to learn that the very first car theft took place in 1896.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow, but there weren't a lot of cars back then, right?
Mm, not many.
Which makes it kind of silly to steal one. I mean, how far can you go before you get caught? Everyone would just listen for the motor, unless you didn't start it up and you put a lot of hay all over it and disguised it as wagon and had a horse pull it, but then it wouldn't be a car and you may as well have just stolen a wagon in the first place. So there's a lesson for you kids. Never steal something mechanized in 1896.
Right.
So how do car alarms reflect God's design?
Oh, well, the inner workings of car alarms are not dissimilar to our brains.
Wow, that's so cool.
I'm not finished yet.
All right.
Just as our brains recognize and alert us to touch or pain, an outside intruder, if you will.
I will.
Of course. The car alarm tells the car that a door or window has been opened, and so it sends out a cry of sorts.
Like this.
Precisely. Uh-huh. Just as any of us might cry out, scream, or shout when something invasive happens to us.
And what does God have to do with this?
Well, God created in our bodies an intricate inner working that connects all of our biological and anatomical systems in a way that many scholars would argue couldn't have happened by random or evolutionary chance. And it's a reflection of the intricate unity that he himself has.
Wow, that is incredible. I have no idea what you just said, but I can tell it's incredible.
Just as the inner workings of a car point to a designer, so the inner workings of our bodies point to a designer. That's all I'm saying.
So this... Whoop, 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 points to God.
In the broadest possible sense, yes.
What's going on in here? I keep hearing an alarm.
Now, you see, everybody, it works. The alarm went off. Mr. John Avery Whittaker came running, just like one of those things in your body that you gene
What are you doing, Wooten?
Connie Cho.
Say hello, Mr. Whittaker. You're on the air.
We're on the air?
Yeah, yeah, but don't be shy, Whit. Look, we've got a caller on the phone line, and maybe there's a question for you.
Oh, for me?
Or not.
Oh.
Hi there, if you're there.
Hi. Connie started the show by talking about whether or not our entertainment should have a point. Are you going to talk about that?
Oh, thank you, random boy caller, for that excellent question. What do you think, Whit? Should entertainment have a point?
I think so.
Uh-huh. And Eugene?
Indubitably.
All right, then, there you have it.
Though, I must explain that it's within our humanity to seek meaning in all of our experiences, no matter how frivolous. To purposefully and consistently eliminate meaning is to reduce us to an animalistic understanding of the world and even of eternity. Meaning and purpose point to God, and without the meaning he brings to our lives, we are then nothing more than members of the food chain, living empty lives.
So I guess you're not a big fan of cotton candy.
Not especially, no. Mm. Though the question is, does this show have a point?
Well, sure we have a point. I mean, I'm sure I saw a point around here someplace. No, that's a tape measure.
Ooh, I'll take that if you please.
I do, please. Here you go.
Oh.
Now, where is that point? It seems to be... gone, which means it's been stolen, and if it's been stolen, then that means...
This is a job for Captain Absolutely!
Uh-oh. Oh, you're going to have to help me out on this one, guys.
I was afraid of that.
It'll be fun. And now, the adventures of Captain Absolutely, defender of truth, justice, and a lot more truth! One day, as Captain Absolutely was flying over Metropolitanville, he saw a large crowd gathered at the center of the town square. Of course, he investigated immediately.
Pardon me, fair citizen, but what goes on?
The Roundhouse is giving autographs.
The Roundhouse? You mean the world-famous undefeated wrestling champion?
That's right.
Giving autographs here and now?
That's what I said.
And me without my pencil and paper?
I might be able to find some paper for you, Captain Absolutely.
Well, that's kind of you, friend. But wait a moment. Aren't you Thug Clot Gripper, former wrestler, and now that manager of said same the Roundhouse?
One and the same. I'm glad you're here. I'd like to have a private conversation with you of a business nature.
With all of you? Great! Name the time and the place.
This afternoon at our personal training complex.
I'll be there, friend. Will I still be able to get that autograph?
You'll get that and more. This afternoon, then.
This afternoon it is.
So, that afternoon, Captain Absolutely went to the very large personal training complex for the Roundhouse. But when he arrived, it seemed that no one was there.
Hello? Is no one here? Why is it so dark?
Hello, Captain Absolutely. So glad you could make it.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Clotgripper. Though, it would be helpful if I could see you.
So your superpowers don't include super sight or night vision, huh?
Well, no.
How about super hearing?
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
This may be easier than I thought.
Well, if you would shed some light on this.
Yes, I'll give you the light right after the roundhouse takes you captive. Roundy!
Takes me.
With that, the roundhouse pounced on Captain Absolutely and twisted him up like a doughy pretzel, but not the kind with a lot of salt and mustard.
Oh! Ouch! Hey, that hurts. And it's also anatomically impossible to bend my leg that way. Or that way. Now cut it out! What's going on here? I'm a big fan. Heroes shouldn't reward their fans by attempting to twist their limbs into strange shapes. Not very conversant, are you, Roundhouse? All right, Thug Clotgripper, what gives?
You do, Captain Absolutely. You have fallen into my trap so easily. And now I will turn the world round!
You dastardly villain! I should have known that... Wait a minute. Did you say you're going to turn the world around? Isn't it already turning around?
No, I want to turn the world round!
But the world is round! I think you'll find that science is...
I want everything to be round. Mm. No edges. No point to anything.
And what's the point of that?
Exactly. Nothing should have a point. I want everything to be mindless and meaningless. Fun for the sake of fun. That's what kids want. That's what I want.
Surely you jest.
Do I jest, Roundhouse? No, I do not. And capturing you is the final part of my plan.
Ha! That might be true if you had indeed captured me. But I, too, have studied wrestling, and with this singularly deft counter move... Hey! Gah! Or this other evasive move... Oh! Or when I turn my body this way... Wow, you're really strong, aren't you? And here I thought all that wrestling stuff was fake.
You see, you're no match for the Roundhouse, who embodies all that I aspire for the world. Sheer strength, no brains, and certainly no point. Now I can direct my energies to making everything point-free.
Right, and how do you propose to do that?
With this new invention of mine...
Ah! That's a television.
Precisely.
But television's already been invented.
I'm not talking about the television, you imbecile. I want you to watch the television. Look. Greetings, world. I am Thug Clotgripper, pro wrestling manager and now mad scientist, bringing you a special announcement that will change your world. Yes, even while you watch this short broadcast presentation, the world's biggest balloon is drifting over your city, covering it completely. Go on, step away from your television to look at it. There, see it? Excellent. And now I will make a final point, the finalest point that ever will be made, and puncture that balloon, releasing a gas that you will breathe in, and guess what? It will make you laugh. That's right. You will laugh and laugh until your brains are filled with nothing but laughter. And you will no longer care about having a point to anything ever again. Life will be fun and meaningless. Doesn't that sound blissful? Glad you agree. Watch the skies, my friends. Hi, I'm Thug Clotgripper, and I approve this commercial. There you have it, Captain Absolutely.
One small note of observation. You're using a point to destroy the balloon. Isn't that a little contradictory?
Don't try to stall me with intricate plot details. It is the last point ever to be made. Pencils will be broken the world over after this.
Metropolitanville is not exactly the whole world.
Hey, it's a start. And soon we will all be deliriously happy, without points, without meaning, without anything more than just fun.
But why? Don't you realize that it's within our humanity to seek meaning in all of our experiences, no matter how...
What?
Well, Eugene said it better. Why would you want a world like that?
Easy. If people do not expect meaning behind their entertainment, then all they'll expect is mindless fun. Then I will be able to recapture the lost ratings from my pro wrestling television network and give my client, the Roundhouse, a comeback in his dwindling career.
Clever.
All this chit-chatter is keeping the city waiting. With a push of this button on my remote control, a giant projectile pencil will be launched at the giant balloon, and the deed will be done. Ready? Just say the magic word.
Stop!
That's the one. 1 minute, Captain, absolutely, and then I'll be laughing all the way to the bank.
No!
Guess we'll find out what happens next after we check in with Connie.
Check in with Connie?
Mm-hmm.
You interrupted the drama to check in with Connie?
Yeah, she's on the line to give us an update on her car. Wait, back to our dramatic news insert. Siege at Wit's End. Are you there, Connie?
Hi, Wooten. Yeah, I'm here. And so is Red Hollard. Say hello, Red.
Hey.
Red is a registered locksmith, so he's come to help me. Red, can you explain what you're doing?
I sure can. See, you left your keys in your purse, and your purse is sitting on the front seat of your car, and the alarm is going off. Okay. So I'm going to break into your car to get your keys so you can turn that alarm off.
Sounds great. And how are you going to break into the car? I assume you have one of those long car breaker into things like they use on TV where you slide it down along the window and pull up on the lock mechanism?
No. I wish I had one of those car breaker into things.
Oh, then what are you going to use?
This brick! See? That was easy.
Red, you just destroyed my window!
Well, yeah, but you got your purse. Here.
My car!
Oh, don't worry about that. I can fix that in a jiffy. I got the replacement glass right there in my truck. You have the keys now.
Oh, yeah, in my purse. Keys. That's weird. They're not here.
Eugene, don't you have Connie's keys?
What?
What? She gave them to you earlier to get that box out of the trunk.
Oh, yes, I forgot. They're right here.
Woohoo! Hey, Connie, we found your keys.
What?
Yeah, Eugene had them the whole time.
I'll be right in.
Hey, she'll be right in.
Yes, perhaps now would be a good time to return to the show.
Show? What show is that?
Captain Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I have. Good idea. So the Roundhouse had Captain Absolutely pinned.
Well, technically, I'm not pinned, Wooten. He doesn't have both my shoulder blades on the mat.
Oh, well, the Roundhouse had Captain Absolutely constrained.
Much better.
While the evil genius, Thug Clotgriper, prepared to launch the giant pencil that would puncture the world's largest balloon and unleash the gas that would take any meaning from humanity.
3, 2, 1... And there it goes! I give it 1 minute to hit the balloon, and then my scheme will be accomplished.
One little question there, Thug.
What?
How will you keep the gas from affecting you?
What do you mean?
Gas masks? Some sort of containment environment? I mean, we're here under an open roof. How will you stop it from turning you into a meaningless blob?
Oh, blast. I knew I forgot something. Well, I have a large handkerchief I can use to cover my nose.
Well, it doesn't matter because I intend to stop your rocket-propelled pencil.
And how do you plan to do such a thing?
As I said, I am a big fan of the Roundhouse here. Which means I know everything about him.
Yeah, so what?
I know the significance of a particular spot 3 inches down from his left armpit.
Oh?
It's where he's most ticklish.
Wait, gitchy, gitchy, gitchy.
Oh, stop. Oh, right there. I know.
Don't do that.
Oh, yes.
Get away from him. Get away from him. Stay calm, Roundhouse.
Got to where I want you. All right.
Roundhouse. No.
Roundhouse. There. And to avoid any confusion, I will now first stop your projectile, and then I will return to take you into custody. I fully expect you to be here. To the pencil!
So Captain Absolutely flew at lightning speed, which is a lot faster than a really big number two pencil can fly, and caught it right before it hit the balloon. Holding it with one hand, he grabbed the tether lines of the balloon with the other and tied it to the pencil, then sent both of them hurtling into space, where the vacuum of space caused the balloon to explode into emptiness. Well, almost empty. You know, that space station was there.
Ah, Houston, we have a problem, but who cares?
It doesn't mean anything anyway. Signing off.
I'll take care of that later.
Captain Absolutely returned to the training center, but Thug and the Roundhouse were gone.
Well, no big surprise there.
But there was a video on the television with a note saying, "Play me," written in Thug's handwriting, which Captain Absolutely knew well from an autographed Wrestling for Fun magazine he bought off an internet auction site 2 years previously.
Now, what's this say?
You haven't seen the last of us, Captain Absolutely. My plan to rid the world of meaning is not over. I will return with a bigger balloon and two handkerchiefs.
That's fine, Thug Clotgripper, and I'll be waiting for you. But until then, I have work to do for truth, justice, and lots more truth.
Want to contact us about the episodes you're hearing? Visit our website at adventuresinodyssey.com or talk to someone at Focus on the Family. Call 1-800-A-FAMILY with a parent's permission, of course. We always love hearing from you.
My keys, please, Eugene.
Of course, Miss Kendall, though in my defense, I didn't realize you needed them. It's not as if you asked me. And
I thought you'd give them back after you got the box from my trunk.
Oh, this is great, Whit. Now the audience will get to see an exercise in conflict resolution. What do you think? Will Connie project her latent frustration onto Eugene?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, Wooten, but years of training have prepared Eugene for this sort of encounter with Connie.
I didn't see you to give them back, and I'm glad that you acknowledged the favor I did you by retrieving the box from the trunk.
Wow, what a great turn by Eugene. He responded and then redirected the conversation.
Masterfully executed.
Well, the box was empty, and I only brought it because you said you needed some empty boxes for this renovation.
Touché. Connie deflects the redirection.
She's well practiced at deflection, Wooten. It's an art form.
Mm-hmm. Well, Miss Kendall, I apologize for the misunderstanding and inconvenience.
Wow, Eugene disarms the entire conflict by going straight to the apology. Is that brilliant or what?
Ah, but will Connie accept? There's a lot at stake here, Wooten. A broken window, to name only one thing.
And that falsely accused squirrel who's welcome to weigh in at any point.
Fine. Apology accepted, Eugene.
She accepts! Was that unexpected or what?
Which essentially takes care of the conflict.
Yes, Whit, nothing resolves conflict more quickly than a heartfelt apology. But do you think there'll be a hug?
No.
How sweet! Which brings me to the point of this entire program.
You mean there really was a point to all this?
Yes. Never try to steal a car in 1896.
What?
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Wooten. I'll take it from here.
Okay, but isn't it time for your show to end?
Yep. So, this is Connie Kendall thanking you for listening to Candid Conversations with Connie with my guests, Wooten Bassett.
Wahoo!
John Avery Whittaker.
A pleasure.
Eugene Meltzner.
In person.
And Red Holler.
I think I'm going to have to replace all the windows, make sure they match.
He's kidding. No windows were actually harmed in the making of this program.
Or squirrels.
Red? Okay, you can stop with the glass sound effects, Red. Red? Take the mic, Wooten.
Again? Well, okay, since the audience demands it. And that's our show. Over and out. 10-4 and hasta la mañana.
Somebody shoo that squirrel away. I don't know why he is so fascinated by this car.
Must be the peanut butter sandwich I left on the hood, Red. Thank you and goodbye.
Well, only Wooten could have created a show that made a point of having no point. Or did it have a point without trying to make a point? You tell me.
Craig!
Just write to me at...
Craig!
Wooten, what in the world? What are you doing here? I was just starting to talk about your show.
And a mighty fine job you were doing there, too. But the police called and there's an alarm going off at your house.
Really? Oh, no. I'll bet it was my cat again. She's always setting it off. Oh, Wooten, take the mic. Where are my keys?
But what am I supposed to do?
Okay, so I guess I just read this thing, huh? So what did you learn from today's episode? Should there always be a point to what we watch or enjoy? Can you think of any favorite books or programs that have taught you an important lesson? Well, I'd love to hear about it. Why don't you write to me at Adventures in Odyssey, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80995. Or in Canada, write to Box 9800, Vancouver, BC, B6B4G3. And learn more about all your favorite shows on our website at witsend.org. Today's adventure, Wooten's... hey, that's me. Wooten's Broken Pencil Show is included in our 52nd collection along with 11 other episodes. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Wooten's Broken Pencil Show was written by Paul McCusker with sound design by Nathan Jones and music by John Campbell. Our cast included Will Ryan, Katie Lee, Andre Stoika, and Jess Arnell. Never heard of that guy. And I'm Chris. Hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey. Oh boy, I think I'm having an identity crisis.